I love this time. I feel like it's such an opportunity to give and get my eyes off myself for a moment. And I think about this moment and I think Jesus is the only thing that makes sense to me right now. I had a pretty crappy day today. I ran into a brand new car. I backed into it by accident. It was an accident. No, I didn't do it deliberately. I got a fine in the mail. Who loves those days? You know, it's a brilliant day. It's just like... And in the midst of, you know, all those things, who's had a day like that? You know, one or two things have happened a week like that and you think, man, I've just for a moment got to get my eyes off myself and Jesus is the only thing that makes sense to me. When I stop thinking about my life and my situation and my circumstances, I'm so glad that Jesus came to rescue us from our selfish nature, our self-absorption, and bring us into the light to fix our eyes upon him. And it's so beautiful how he came to us. And it wasn't an afterthought. It was a forethought. It was something that God planned, something that he had in mind from the beginning. I just want to read this quote to you from Max Lucado. It's on the screen there. It says, "The arrival of Jesus was not just an event in history. It was the culmination of every promise, prophecy, and hope planted of God's people. Heaven's greatest gift was wrapped in the cry of a newborn king." There's a cry in my heart. There's a hope planted in my heart for Jesus. I don't know about you. And the whole world is, there's a sense of expectation, anticipation around Jesus. If you just go to the next slide, I love this thought. The Bible is not a book of random story. It's a unified story of God preparing us for Jesus. There's a sense of expectation that has been right through history about the coming of Jesus. And there's even an expectation, anticipation in my heart when I step away from that, when I come back to him and I enjoy his presence again. When I step out of the moments of just chaos and I step back into his presence, there's expectation. A belief and a strong hope that something is about to happen when I meet with him. There's power in his presence. There's an anticipation in my heart that I look forward to something exciting. An anticipation like a child getting ready for Christmas Day. I don't really feel this excitement anymore. But, you know, like a child who gets ready for... You do, Michelle, don't you? You get excited, stay up all night because Trav's got something exciting for you. You better go and buy something tonight, mate. You better get ready. And there's this expectation, anticipation that I come to him after being in my own space and I come to him and there's something powerful about him and his presence and the moment that I spend with him. And if you haven't experienced that, can I just encourage you that that is the beauty of our faith. That is the absolute beauty and of what we experience when we come to Christ, is that we get to come to him and all those things which seem overwhelming and just annoying at times solidify themselves around things like love and peace and kindness and mercy and forgiveness and grace and all those things. So it's something beautiful about that. And in the context of faith, you know, there's been this idea that there's an anticipation, I suppose, an expectation for a very long time. We see through the ages the prophetic promise in Genesis 3:15 where God promised a deliverer right after the fall, someone who would crush the serpent's head. In Isaiah 7:14 it says, "A virgin will conceive and bear a son and he'll call him Emmanuel, God with us." This is right back in the Old Testament. We see through the promise of Abraham, a covenant that through Abraham's offspring all nations will be blessed. So right through history we're seeing, and through even the messianic prophecies in the Bible, in Isaiah and in Micah, we see that it was prophesied of Jesus would come, born of a virgin in Isaiah 7 and born in Bethlehem. And we heard of this suffering servant in Isaiah 53 foretelling the suffering and the death of Jesus for the sins of the world. A Messiah that would saved not through conquest, but through suffering. There's historical anticipation. There's the waiting of Israel after exile, Israel's longing for restoration, and a king like King David grew. A history of failed leaders and unfulfilled promises heightened the need for a saviour. Everything fell short, and everything continues to fall short of him. And there's an expectation, I suppose I want to feel that anticipation through history. We see in the intertestamental period, 400 years of silence between the Old and New Testaments, where there was political oppression and under umpires like Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome, and created this expectation among God's people of deliverance. We saw that through Roman occupation and Jewish hope, heavy taxation, religious corruption, the Roman rule made the Jewish people long for a Messiah who would come and bring justice and freedom. And that's what we experience when we come to him. And we see that when Jesus arrived, he changed everything. It was God with us. The Word became flesh to live among us. God stepped into human history as Emmanuel, bridging the gap between heaven and earth. He brought heaven to earth and let us experience what it's like. He gave us a taste of heaven through the life of Jesus. We saw this in the fulfillment of prophecies in Luke 4, where Jesus declared, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." They prophesied about him. Jesus came and he changed everything. He turned everything upside down. There was a longing and an anticipation for people to do things and do life differently. In Matthew 5, we see the Sermon on the Mount, and he talked about the meek inheriting the earth and to love your enemies, which we all do, amen, and blessed are the poor in spirit. There's this kind of sense that he was changing. He would come and he would bring healing and kindness. We see in Luke 4, he would heal the sick, forgive the sin, restore people's lives, declaring freedom for the oppressed and sight for the blind. And then obviously the ultimate was the cross, the fulfillment of God's plan where sin was conquered, death was defeated, and a new life was offered to us who believe. We were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' presence remains in us through the power of the Spirit, and it transforms our lives. We become a new creation, and we have a hope that he's going to return. But there is this anticipation. When Jesus comes, something leaps in my heart. I don't know about you, and I want to encourage you that when you experience Christ and his presence, there's an expectation in you that something should leap in you. Butterflies, if you like. This moment of time where you experience his peace and his power, and it's like something shifts in me and in my heart. With everything seems so hard and difficult and challenging, I find a sense of the word uses shalom, a wholeness in him. I love the story of Mary as she visits Elizabeth, and Jesus is still in the womb. And I'll read this passage. It said, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth, her cousin. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in the womb." This is John the Baptist. "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear.' And she said, 'But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me?' As soon as the sound of the greeting reached her ears, the baby in the womb leapt for joy." I want to get this. Jesus is not a burden for your life. He's a joy. He's a great joy. He's a great joy. "Blessed is he who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And then he goes on and we see Mary just break out in song. And Josh is going to sing this to us soon. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of it. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation," hear that, "from generation to generation." This is not an afterthought. This is a forethought. This is something that God had planned to rescue us and bring us into his light and his love. I love here, "He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants way back forever, just as he promised." It's the culmination of a promise that he would come and rescue us, and he would rescue you and come into your life and bring you joy and hope and peace. It's something that's absolutely beautiful. We see Mary, newly pregnant with Jesus, visits her cousin Elizabeth, who is 6 months pregnant. As soon as Mary greets Elizabeth, something extraordinary happens. John leaps in the womb, it says. Leaping John. Even in the womb, John has responded to the presence of Jesus. A spiritual awakening, if you like. And that's what we are always called to, this spiritual awakening, because who knows, we can have deaf ears and blind eyes where we don't see things in his light and we don't hear what he's saying about us. And there's an awakening, and it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and she immediately acknowledges her as significant, the significance of Mary's child. Jesus' presence brought joy. It brought revelation and it brought an overflow of the Spirit of God. There's something powerful about the presence of Jesus. Most of us would acknowledge this. We've seen it with our own eyes. We see it in Scripture. The broken are healed. We see blind Bartimaeus receive his sight. A leper was cleansed. Jesus would connect with people that we wouldn't normally connect with. There was something about him that invited us in. It says that he set the captives free in Mark, where we see a demon-possessed man totally delivered. We see a Samaritan woman at the well become a witness to an entire village because of an encounter she had with Jesus. Something about who he was. We find hope and purpose through our relationship with him, and our sins are forgiven. I tell you what, when I had those experiences today, I said some choice words. I wasn't giving myself that many encouragement during that time, but it was just a moment where it's like, I need to just find myself in his presence again, because there's some grace there and kindness and mercy to myself and to everyone else. I've seen this so often in my, and you've seen it too, when Jesus shows up, like the story goes is that there's an expectation right back in the beginning of time that he would make things right. And he does. And he did. He fixed it. He fixed the problem of humanity, the broken heart, and restored us to himself. He made things right. It was beautiful. And I've seen people respond to Jesus in such amazing ways. I've seen people in prayer and worship. I've seen people cry out to God with fervent prayers. I've been up all night praying with people. I've seen the passion in their eyes and desires, and that can only come from a connection with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. I've seen people just get lift their hands in worship and get overwhelmed by his love to the point of tears. I've seen it happen. I've seen people break down and abandon everything in front of Jesus and just give their life to him. I've seen it happen. I've seen lives transformed. I've seen addicts set free from chains of addiction for many years because they encountered Jesus. I've seen marriages restored because of what Jesus has done. I've seen lonely hearts. I've seen people find houses and homes and family because of what Jesus done and answered prayers. I've seen people receive food because of Jesus. I've seen young people choose Jesus over everything else in their life, all the other peer pressures and all the other experiences. They decided, no, I'm going to resolutely choose Jesus. Wow, imagine that. I've seen extravagant love and sacrifice from people just giving to their community, sacrificing their time and their energy and their money and their resources. You don't do that unless you're in love. And that's what this is about. This is a love story. It's about Jesus coming to rescue us and to come into our life. As the video said, he is the Prince of Peace. And he has come to rescue us. And I'm so excited. I'm so glad he did. I've seen people study the Bible deeply and committed to growing spiritually, and I've seen people individually sell everything up and go on the mission field, do extravagant things for God. And some of us look back and go, you're an idiot. Why would you do such radical things? But they do it because they love him. And he loves them. And it's beautiful. And you see what God does. I've seen miracles of healing. I've seen people healed physically. I've seen people spiritually renewed. I've seen so much. And it can only happen because Jesus' presence, he comes and he manifests himself in our lives and among us, and he does the work. It's nothing that I've done. It's nothing. It's all what he has done. There's something powerful in his presence. And I just want to encourage you with these three things. This is the power of his presence. The power to live. You, when he comes, you can live life to the full. In Romans 8, it says that if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because the spirit lives in you. There's a resurrection power that lives in your life for eternity, that you can keep getting up again even though you get knocked down. I get knocked down and I get up again. I ain't never going to keep me down. You can do that spiritually. I love what Timothy Keller said. He said, the Christian life is not about mere improvement. It's about resurrection. It's about taking those dead things in our life, those things which we feel defeated about and overcome by, and resurrecting and bringing them back to life. It's not about hopelessness. It's about hope. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's what Jesus does. He gives us power in his presence to live life to the full and to overcome the challenges that come before us. We can do that. It's the power to be led. I love what Psalm, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lay down in green pasture. I love that bit, because I wouldn't lay down in a green pasture unless I was made to. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Jesus is the good shepherd. And not only provides, but leads us and restores us. There's something, and I love what Courtney read out. There's a humility that comes at the start of our journey with God, where we realize I need to be led. There's power in being led rather than being the leader. You're not the king. I'm not the king. He is the king. He is the king of my heart. He's the king of our church. He's the king of our families. He's the king because he knows. His wisdom no one can fathom. He knows what we need. He knows how things work. And so he gives us power in his presence to live life, to overcome, to have that resurrection power to get up. He gives us the power to choose to be led rather than to lead all the time and to humble ourselves. And then obviously the power to love. We love because he first loved. It's the ability, as he pours his life into us, we pour our life into others. His sacrificial love is the source of our ability to love others. And the more I understand the presence of his love, the more I have to give to others. If I lose that ability to give to others, it's only because I don't understand his love anymore. The revelation of his love keeps giving. It's fuel and resource for your tank to keep giving. So I just want to encourage you. This is not an afterthought. This is a forethought. This is something that God planned. Whatever we're going through in our lives, God is present. He is here. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And no matter what struggle we find ourselves, and the world has been through a lot of struggles over many years, thousands of years, and God is present. He has a plan to come and meet with us and to be with us. The power to live, the power to be led, and the power to love. And it all comes from him. And as we come together, we celebrate his life. And I just want to pray for us to finish up, because I feel like there's an invitation here today simply to say, you know what? Life can be challenging and difficult, but when Jesus comes, something leaps in my heart. And I pray you get a leap in your heart today. You get a sense that, you know what? There's hope. There's something I'm seeing here that I haven't seen before that's going to just give me amazing joy and strength in my life. So let's all stand. We're going to close our service, and these guys are going to sing a few songs, and we're going to pray. But I'm going to pray for an encounter of joy today. Who likes joy? Does anyone like joy? Anyone like to be happy? That's not joy, all right? Joy is a sense It's this inner sense that God is with me and that's enough. You know, it gives me joy that God is present. That's joy. You know, it's one of the things I love at Christmas time, and I was saying to a few people today, is like, it's hard to get your family together, but Christmas Day, everyone seems to show up. And I love it. It gives me great joy. Why? Because we're in each other's presence. There's nothing that gives you more joy than presence. Not with a T, with a C. Presence. Being together. And when He is with us, it gives us great joy. Let's pray. Jesus, thank You that You are with us. Thank You that we're not alone. Thank You that as we understand who You are and what You've done for us, we can step into the life that You have for us. Pray You'd breathe on us today, that we'd experience great joy. And as John leapt in the womb when Jesus came in the room, I pray that we would have a leap in our hearts today. We are not defeated. We're not overcome. We have You, Jesus. And that's great, and that's all we need. And we celebrate You. Thank You for coming. Thank You that You come into the world, that You became flesh and lived among us, and You lived and You died and You overcome. And that resurrection power shows us that we can do the same thing. And I thank You for that in Jesus' name.